You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
And we talked about the Holy Spirit being a person, not an it. I know some people refer to the Holy Spirit as it, itself, or it, like a power or a force, but actually the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he is a person. Jesus very plainly said that in John 14, 15, and 16. Over and over, he used personal pronouns. When he, the Spirit of come, Spirit of God comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will do this. He. You know, it's a person, not a thing. And so we can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes to empower us. We know that. Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. Paul talked about preaching, he said he preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4, verse 14, after the wilderness experience, says he returned to the power of the Spirit. So we know he comes to give us power. He came to give us life. He's the one that makes us alive. If the Spirit has quickened you or made you alive, the Bible says. In fact, a letter just read, a dead letter, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The letter killeth, the Spirit gives life. That means, you know, when I'm preaching or when I'm ministering or when you're listening to sermons or when you're reading the Bible, you need the Spirit to make it alive because the Spirit gives life. And the more you yield to the Spirit, the more alive it becomes. And, you know, I pray that, yeah, I'll be accurate. I pray that the words will be correct. I pray I get the scriptures right when I quote them. I pray that, I connect with you somehow, some way. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't show up, if the Spirit doesn't anoint what I say, it's just dead letters going to dead heads. And we're not getting anything out of it. Are you with me? Yeah. So I don't want to be just concise and accurate and right. I don't want to just be scriptural. I do want that. Obviously, that's paramount. We want to be scriptural. But I want the anointing on it. I want the Spirit of God to move on it. As when Peter preached, man, their hearts were pricked. They said, what must we do to be saved? When Jesus spoke to those two on the road to Emmaus, says, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke? Woo, hallelujah. So you want the anointing on you because that's what Jesus read out of Isaiah 61 in Luke 4:18. He said this, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So we want a quickening in your spirit. We want something to click and come alive inside of you. Amen? Yes. Amen. Two of you do, and that's good. That's that's better than none. But you don't want to just be impressed, and you don't want to just get information. We do need information, but we also need inspiration. We need motivation. Are you with me? Right. You know, if you don't meditate, you know, meditation will bring the motivation, actually. It'll bring actuation when you actuate it, you know. And I got a rhyme coming, I think, and I'm trying to figure out. Stay with me. We need a revelation. You need a meditation on the revelation. If you're ever going to get the information you need, if you want to get the motivation you need, right? Okay, I'll quit. Y'all start calling me Jesse Jackson. But I do believe in keeping hope alive. I will say that. We need to keep hope alive. Matthew 1, the Spirit, he's a teacher. We know that. He taught us. The Bible says he's the Spirit of truth. Jesus said he'll teach you all things. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 2:9 down through the 14th verse where it says, I have not seen, ear not heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things that God knows no man but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the Spirit's been given us to know things. And that's what it's saying there. You know, he says, we receive the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's a comforter, the Bible says. Jesus said, I'll send the comforter. He comforts us. Alongside the help, he's a helper. Aren't you glad we got a helper? He helps us in our infirmities. So the Spirit of God, we need the Spirit. Oh yes, hallelujah, that's good preaching. Yes, we do. We need the Spirit because we just can't do this by ourselves. But thank God we're not by ourselves. We haven't been alone a day in our life since we got saved. I mean, we got saved. Jesus came on the scene through the Holy Spirit. And that's how he's in us, really. He's not in us as Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He's in us through the Holy Spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's property. Hallelujah. Y'all found Matthew 1. Okay, excuse me for getting stirred up. Sometimes I just get to rolling and the scriptures start backing up like freight cars, you know, in a train. I've got to get them off the track. They just got to. Okay. This is a classic case. I'm not teaching on this in particular, but just I want to bring out a verse here. It says in the first verse, Matthew 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Everybody say, led of the Spirit. I want to teach this morning on the Spirit leads us. You know, we need the leading of the Spirit. Spirit is the leader. He's the guide. He's the one that leads us. Did I say Matthew? What did I say? 4:1. Matthew 4:1. Okay. Good. You got it right? Okay. Anybody catch that? Anybody catch? Okay. How many of you didn't catch that? I just want to know. Okay. Good. See, I can make a lot of mistakes, and most of y'all don't catch it, so I'm all right. But that's why I like to get a head count here. And if you caught it. Brenda always catches it. Amanda always corrects me. It's Matthew 4:1. I'm sorry. I get to rolling, you know, and I'm having a big time up here. Hallelujah. I live for this. Praise God. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I think that's interesting. Why would Jesus need to be led? Wow. But Jesus operated as a man down here. I mean, he was God, but he became man. In fact, he didn't even do any miracles till the Spirit of God came on him. Previous to that, in the third chapter, is when the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. It's when he came up out of the water and the Spirit descended and God said, this is my beloved Son whom well pleased. Jesus didn't start his ministry without the Spirit. He needed that strength, that anointing, that comfort, that leading, that guidance because he operated as a man. Pretty simple. Jesus actually told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. Wait for the Spirit to come on them so they could do what he did. Amen? But interesting enough, the first thing the Spirit did was lead him. All to be led by the Spirit, man. To have a word from God. To know that we're doing what God wants us to do. To be where God wants us to be. To be doing the thing he's telling us to do. Not the thing everybody else wants us to do. Not the thing everybody else approves of. Not the thing that everybody expects of us. But the thing that God wants us to do. That's the most important thing, amen? Because we're into numbers and we're into all kinds of, you know, we measure success that way in our society. And I do believe God wants to prosper us, yes. And he does want to us to be successful. But sometimes we misinterpret what success really is. I think to have your kids serving God is pretty successful, amen? To have your marriage continue and love each other after years and years and years, that's success, that's good, amen? Hallelujah. And of course, money is success too. I got that. But why would you want money and not have a good marriage and not have your kids wouldn't talk to you for years and years? You think that's successful? Oh, come on. We got to put first things first here. Amen. Yeah. The light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. Let's get the home right. Amen. But having said that, the Spirit will lead you in the right direction. And we need that. We need that unction, that leading. You know, Brother Osteen used to always say, we've got to get out of the book of Numbers and in the book of Acts. Hello. Success is doing the will of God. It's doing what God wants you to do, wherever that is. You know, God called me to come to Wills Point, Texas. And I was led of the Spirit to come up here in 1982. I was in a church teaching a class larger than the whole town. So if you want to just count numbers, then I would think that would have been a bad move, numerically. But it was what God wanted to do. Are you with me? God wanted me to come up here. And so the worst thing I could have done is stayed at Lakewood or took another church somewhere else with bigger numbers. Are you with me? Yeah. And established somewhere because God told me to come here. Yeah. I had person after person over the years tell me, you know, you have any business in Will's Point. You need to be in this place, or you need to go to that town, or you need to go to a bigger town, or, you know, what are you still doing in Will's Point? Well, it's real simple. God told me to come here, and God hadn't told me to leave yet. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, it's not complicated. I like to keep it simple. I'm not real deep. God said, come here. I'm here. If God said, go, I'll go, but he hadn't said that. And nothing will determine that. No money will determine that. No numbers will determine that. No greener pasture determines that. It's just the voice of God that determines that. You know, either we're going to listen to God or we're not going to listen to God. What is it God's telling you to do? The first thing you want to do is get checkbook out and figure it all out and get the math down. And that's not what God's telling you to do something, just do it. If he's leading you, you need to follow that leading. I remember years ago, after I got Brenda, I got saved. Brenda had been saved. We'd been married about a year and a half, and we started going to Lakewood Church. And I bought a house and 2 acres in my hometown, way out in the country. And it was had a little log bin barn to it. It had some big oak trees in the back, and it was way out in the country. And we didn't live there. Excuse me. We stayed there just a very short time. I mean, maybe 6 months, I think. But I kept maintaining the place and kept the place. And then I went back up there and I bought 3 more acres around it. I'm still living in Houston, still going to Lakewood Church. And, you know, and one day I was out there digging cross ties, putting in a corner post, cross ties for a corner post, fencing in the other 3 acres around this house. And it was a small house. And so I was thinking as I was digging that post, and I put that cross tie down in that hole, you know, and I was tamping it with a, maybe you know what I'm talking about, maybe you don't. But anyway, you take a hole and you tamp the, you push the dirt in, you put a little more dirt in, you tamp it. And that would, because if you just put all the dirt in there, it's just still going to shake. So you put it a little at a time, build it up till it's real solid. And you want your corner posts real solid. So it was late one evening, I was by myself, I'd borrow my dad's truck, and I'd slid off those cross ties and put them in there, you know, and I got this corner. I was looking across 5 acres now I had. I was looking at that house up there and thinking I'm going to build onto the back of it, and I'd like to put a new roof on that barn. It was late in the evening. In other words, the sun was going down, kind of like God walks with you in the cool of the evening. And as I was tamping that post, I heard the voice of God. And it was just a leading. He said, no, son, I've got other plans for you. It was just so real, and it was so sweet, and it was so tender, you know, and I had such big plans. I was going to, and I walked away, and I never went back. I sold the place. And God, do what? And it was the down payment, actually, I put on the house that we live in now. For 34 years, we lived in that house. But I heard God. And when I heard God, I am wide awake. I'm strong, emotionally strong, yes. Okay. Dried up. But when I heard God, that just killed that. I never took another thought. I never went back again. Sold the place. Didn't finish the fence even. I think my dad went out and finished the fence and we got it sold. Sold the place. Because there was no point in pursuing that any longer. There was no point thinking about that any longer. There's no point worrying about that any longer. There's no point making any more plans any longer, because God had another plan. Are you with me? So it was something I wanted to do, but this is far better. Amen. Are you with me? This is far better on the other side. I've often questioned things that God's asked me to do. Why? You know, but I've never questioned God after I obeyed him for a while, because then I begin to see the wisdom in it. Yeah. You know, it's usually later that you figure it out. All we've got to do is obey. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do what he says, and then all the revelation, all the understanding will come later. Wisdom's kind of that way. Wisdom's not real complicated. There's somebody that's smarter than you. He's called God. God's telling you to do something. You don't really need to question that. You just need to go do it. Amen? It's not complicated. And then when it's all said and done, you'll look back and you'll see why he asked you to do that. It'll make perfect sense to you. You know, from there, the first thing God did was call me to teach. That's the first time I heard God's voice. After I got saved, I've been saved about a year, and I was happy to be saved, and I was witnessing to everybody. I mean, I was telling everybody about Jesus, and I was devouring the Bible. I didn't know I was called. I didn't understand that. I got kicked out of high school, so I didn't have an education a high school degree or a college education. I had no inclination, bent, or proclivity to be a teacher. Okay? I would just come out of drugs and jails, and I was working on a construction job and just happy to be saved. You know, and very happy about it and telling everybody about it. And there I am at a service at Lakewood Church in 1976. I've been saved 1 year. It was in May of 1976. And God gave me an open vision. I never had one before, never had heard God before. It was the first time I ever heard Him, an actual voice in my spirit. And I saw my hometown, and I saw a church in my hometown, a prominent church I was aware of, and I saw people going in there. I don't even know why I can go here, because it happens every time I tell this story. I saw all these people going in the church, and they were looking good, and they were looking fine. They were dressed up, and they were happy, and they were rejoicing, and they looked good. But then I saw them coming out the back door. This church had a back door. And I saw them coming out the back door, and they didn't look so good, and they weren't so happy. They were worse for going to church than they were if they hadn't gone. And I wasn't into crying. Forget that now. I cried a drop of hat now. But I wasn't into crying because I didn't have that background, and I was weeping in the service, and I was begging God to leave me alone, and God said, I want you to do something about that. And I heard it. I heard it in my spirit. I want you to do something about that. I said, I can't do anything about that. In fact, what I literally said was, you got the wrong cat, Jack. That's just the way I talked back then. I didn't cuss or anything, but that's just my vernacular. You got the wrong cat, Jack. Nope, nope. I was arguing. I said, no, 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 no. I can't do anything about that. And I was crying, and God was saying, I want you to do something about that. I'm thinking, what can I do about that? What do you mean? I was confused. I was shocked. I was trying to quit crying because I was in church, people around me. You know, and I said, no, God, I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about that. And I kept seeing these people. And he said, I'm calling you to teach my word. Literally what he said. And I said, okay. You know, because you don't win an argument with God. You never win an argument with God. He's relentless. He is like a hound, the hound of heaven. He gets on your trail. He will not stop. He will stay on you till you give in. Hallelujah. He wants you because you will not be happy till you do. You will be miserable till you do. And thank God. Quit running. Quit trying to argue with God. Just accept it and go with it. Hallelujah. So I did. I gave in at that point. And that would change the destiny of my life. That changed the future of my life. Changed the whole direction of my life. My whole focus and everything. From then on, I was a teacher. Didn't know it. Came home, didn't even tell Brenda. I was embarrassed to tell anybody. I was afraid to tell anybody. They thought I was nuts if I told them that. Because came home, Brenda went to bed. We went to bed. She went to sleep in 5 minutes like she always does, and I got up out of bed. Went in the living room. We were living in an apartment in Strawberry Hills, Pasadena, Texas. And I went and snuck back in the living room, turned the light on, sat down. I said, okay, God. I said, I don't have an education. I don't have any money. I was working as laborers on a construction job. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll go all over the world for you. I'll teach your word. By any means you want to do it. I don't know what you're doing. And I remember this conversation. I said, I don't know what you're doing, but if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And I accepted the call at that point. And little did I know that I'd be standing here today, you know, all these years later, and have been all over the world and taught in all kinds of venues in different countries and so on and so forth. And there is nothing that I love to do more than teach. I love to teach the word. I love it. I love it. God knew what he was doing. Amen. And he didn't pick me because I was so great. He could have picked you. He just happened to pick me. God doesn't pick anybody because they're great, okay? Because we're all important. So don't go down that road. And don't start saying you can't do what God says you can do. Because you can do whatever God says you can do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're not alone. God's not looking for ability. He's just looking for availability. If you just show up, he'll show up. And he'll show out. That's what he always does. Amen? Turn to Acts 8. Jesus was what? He was led of the Spirit. Jesus himself was led to go there. Acts 8 chapter. Here's an amazing story. here's Philip, who is a deacon. He's having revival. I mean, there's miracles happen. There's people, many deaf, sick of the palsy were healed, the Bible says. Devils came out of people. People were saved. There was great joy in the city, the 8th verse tells us. And then Peter and John come down, they might receive the Holy Ghost, you know, because they had received Jesus, but the Holy Spirit hadn't fell on any of them. So they came and laid hands on them, and they might receive the Holy Spirit. But notice on down further in the, further than that. Okay. 26th verse. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is the desert. In other words, leave this great revival and go out in the desert. That makes a lot of sense. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to that chariot. Wow. I mean, just out in the middle of the desert, there's a chariot, and God says, the Spirit says, go over there. Now, it's interesting, it didn't say Philip was fascinated by this, seeing this guy out here, and decided to run over there. It says the Spirit led him. The Spirit led him. So he wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't his choice to do so. It wasn't a scheme. It wasn't a method. You know, we're all about methods, methodology, you know, methods of growing churches and methods of doing this, methods of doing that. Well, you know, we're looking for better methods. God just looking for better men. Men he can speak to, and women he can speak to, and people he can minister to. God's got all kinds of methods. Are you kidding? God's got all kinds of wisdom. I remember Lakewood Church. It was interesting, fascinating, the years we were at Lakewood. We started going there. They had like 700. When we left, they had about 5,000 in attendance in one service. Okay, I'm not counting all services, just that's one service. But it grew from that. They had no visitation program. Zero. They had no cell groups, none, zero, okay? None of that. Brothers, you just got up and preached, the Holy Ghost fell. Are you with me? Yep. People came. That was it. But now you got to have all these programs. And on against programs, I think organization's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll put all of our faith in that instead of in what God's telling us to do. You know, like, I got to make it happen. Well, no, God's making it happen. You just need to show up. You need to get up, dress up, and show up. That's what you need to do. And God will do the rest. I've always operated on that basis, you know. Whatever I am by the grace of God. I didn't have a chance to go to college. I didn't have a chance to go, you know, get a formal education because I started ministering too quick. Man. I started going to prisons and preaching to prisons, Salvation Army and Open Door Missions and Houston all around there and doing Bible studies and then Lakewood Church and doing classes at Lakewood. I mean, I just was too busy. I would have had to quit ministering to go to school so I could minister. Make sense? I'm for education. I'm not against education. But I do know this, education won't make you called. It can enhance a call, but it won't make you called. You can crank people out of seminaries all day long. It doesn't mean they're called.
That's right.
You can put a degree behind them all day long. It doesn't mean they're called. Don't get me wrong. There are some called, God called men and women that have degrees, have been to seminary, and I'm for education. I think it enhances a call. But a call is a call, y'all.
Amen.
Okay? Call is a call, y'all. And man can't make you called. And education can't make you called. And methods can't make you called. See, none of that. All that is okay, but the call comes from God. You're called not by man, but by Jesus Christ. And if you're led to do something, you're just led to do something, you know. Most of what you do in life, you're not led to. I understand that. Just find a good thing, go do it. Some things you're really pulled and led to do. Man, those are things that explode. We've done a lot of things in our church that just didn't work out. Some did, some didn't. But with the things that God breathed on, woohoo. Man, you couldn't stop those things. And you live your life learning to recognize the wave of the Spirit. We don't create waves. We just ride them. There's one. Get on that one. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Well, there it is. Come on, let's get on it. See, you recognize the move. You recognize, and you get on the move. You get on the wave. That's what God's asking us to do. Amen? Well, here's Philip, and the Spirit led him to go near and join himself to this chariot. Isn't that amazing? He left this revival and went out to the desert and ministered to one person. Did you know God cares about one person? Did you know that God cares about a small church and a medium church and a big church? Did you know that God actually literally wants a small church to have just as good ministry as a big church? That God, you know, God's into big church. He's not really into little church. He doesn't really care about the little guy. So if you're really anointed and you're really, you need to be in a big church. You need to be in a big town. You need to get your map out. Are you with me? You need to get your methods down. You need to count numbers and dollar signs. Money, honey, that's what it's all about, right? No. You need to hear God. You need to do what God's telling you to do. And if God sends you to the one or he sends you to the thousand, be happy. Wherever that is and whatever. Because God cares about everybody. He wants everybody to get blessed. He wants everybody to hear his word. He wants everybody to be tugged at and pulled by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he sent old Philip out here in the middle of the desert. Hallelujah. And because he obeyed, aren't you glad he did? This one man got saved. Do you think that was important? Did you know one person ministered to Billy Graham? Somebody witnessed. Do you know who it is? I don't know who it was. Somebody witnessed to him. I know somebody witnessed to Brother Osteen while he was in the den of iniquity selling popcorn at the ISIS theater in Fort Worth. Huh? Sam was his name. Yeah, Sam. I knew that. The guy's name was Sam. It was a friend of Brother Osteen's. It witnessed him, told him about Jesus. And there he was, selling popcorn at a movie theater, which back then, that was the den of iniquity. You know, my mother couldn't even go see Gone with the Wind because it had one cuss word in it. Her mother wouldn't let her go. No way. Not no. You know, frankly, my dear, that one, you know. Anyway. So he always talks about the den of iniquity, but somebody witnessed to him. Somebody told him about Jesus. Somebody told me about Jesus. His name was J.D. Love. He was a foreman on a construction job I was working on at Upjohn Chemical in Deer Park, Texas. I was a painter's helper. I'd gone down there trying to get some work, and he began to minister to me. Just old Pentecostal guy who lived in Rye, Texas. Went to a little Pentecostal church that probably wouldn't seat 20 people when it's full. Put my name in a prayer jar. Never will forget it. He used to tell me, he witnessed to me. When he first witnessed to me, I'd cuss him out and laugh at him. You know, because I was just lost as a goose. I thought it was funny. I even grabbed his hands one time and said, "Let's talk to God," and looked up and cussed God out. Just lost as a goose. Just didn't believe in God, didn't believe anything. And he walked away, and he didn't even fire me. He didn't fire me. He just kept witnessing to me. Come back the next day, he'd smile on his face and tell me about, he's my foreman. And he kept witnessing to me. Well, after a few weeks of that, you know, in a couple months or so, actually took 6 months, I got to realizing that he's got something I don't have. I'm waking up in a new world every day. This guy's the same all the time. And I was just, you know, heavy in drugs at the time. And he kept ministering. And finally I got to where I believed there was a God. And I thought, well, okay, I guess there is a God. Maybe there's a hell. Maybe I'm going there. Well, if I go to hell, I just go to hell, you know. You know, that's real smart. You're real macho when you think like that. Yeah, I go to hell. I go to hell. You know, that's just the way it is. The way it is. I'll be a man, you know. So I'm thinking along those lines. He just keeps witnessing to me, keeps witnessing to me. And, you know, I'm starting to listen a little bit, you know. And then he tells me, he says, "Hey, we put your name in a prayer jar in front of the church." I said, "What? What do you mean? I put your name in a prayer jar at the front of the church." I said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "Well, we put people's names in there and we pray for them every service that they'll get saved." I said, "You go take my name out of that jar." Because now I'm getting scared. I'm thinking, there is a God. This guy knows him. You know? I mean, I've broke that barrier. I've gotten to where I believe in God. There is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And now they got my name in a prayer jar at the church. Hallelujah. And it worked. And he didn't take it out of there. He left it in there. And I got saved. J.D. Love witnessed to me. I've never seen him since. Don't know where he is or what he's doing. but I'll always be indebted to him. You know, I'm sure he heard the Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure he wanted to write me off. But I'm sure the Spirit. The Spirit wouldn't let him do that. The Spirit just said, no, I want you to go back. You just keep witness to him. You keep praying for him. Man, we need to listen to the Holy Ghost. We need to listen to the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit will lead you. You know, we heard a tremendous testimony a few weeks ago. Dave was sharing about a guy that he's known for years and years. Rough guy, you know. Guy that you never talked about the Lord to him before. But his dad was dying. And Dave's dad had just passed away. And David got the opportunity to lead his dad to the Lord. And they were playing golf. And every hole, the Spirit was leading, was tugging at David. You need to ask him. If his dad knows Jesus, you need to ask him that. And I don't know how many holes it was, but it was.
Salvation
kept coming. Yeah, loud as it could be. And so he finally listened to that because he couldn't get away from it. You can't get away from what the Spirit's saying. It's the fire you can't put out, okay? It's the one you try to damper and you try to put out, but it won't go out. Just won't go away. Well, he finally asked him, you know, does your dad know Jesus? And the guy just looked at him, and I believe I got this right, and said, you know, I've been thinking the same thing. And so he talked to him about go sharing Jesus with his dad before he passed, and he did that. Hallelujah. Woo! Playing golf out there on a golf course and listening to the Spirit. Spirit will do that. Well, the Spirit led Philip to this guy, and he wound up getting saved. The Spirit led that guy to witness to me, and I got saved. Thank God. The Spirit led me to come to Will's Point and start this church. I was at Lakewood Church ministering in the classes. And I've told this before, but the class that I started teaching on Sunday morning class, auditorium class, I taught for 2 years. Bert and I were over the counselors for 2 years at Lakewood. We had 175 counselors underneath us, and we were the head counselors. And we'd go up and minister to people when they got saved or... You were there, yeah. Ministering people got saved and the invitations, and we put counselors behind men, women behind women, and try to match up young people, and so on and so forth, and ugly people with ugly people. No, we didn't. I'm just trying to break it up here. But we'd match up people, you know, and take them to a prayer room, and they'd pray with them, make sure they knew what they did when they accepted Jesus, okay? So we did that for a couple of years, and I'd start out in a class the morning when we'd start at 9:30 on Sunday morning. We have 400 or 500 people in there. By the time I'm through with the class at 10:15, there might be 4,000 people. Because it's the auditorium class. They were having church there.
Yeah.
And so I was picking high cotton. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Feeling pretty good about myself, you know.
Amen.
And tapes, oh, man, I was selling tapes left and right. You know, and I wasn't purposely selling, but they taped everything. And people were ordering tapes and buying tapes. And just hundreds and hundreds of them, you know. And then God said, as I'd pray, I want you to go to Will's Point and start a church. And I rebuked the devil. Literally. Lying devil, you get away from me? No. Get me out of the will of God. You're trying to get me out of the will of God. And that went on for a long time. And then I realized it wasn't the devil. It wouldn't go out. It was God pulling me to come start a church here in Will's Point. There already was a Bible study going here, and already the lady's been praying for years for a church like this to get started here. They just needed someone to obey God to come and pastor. And so, you know, finally I gave in to it, and I've never regretted it.
Amen.
Are you with me? Amen. It's been a long ride. It's been a good ride. Been 34 years of good stuff. All my kids, I've raised my children here, and they're all serving God, and they all love Jesus. My grandchildren love Jesus. Hallelujah. And Bert and I are still married. And still love each other. It's amazing. Hallelujah. But you know, I was led to come here. People ask me all the time, what made you go to Will's Point, Texas? God told me to. God led me here. Oh, you didn't do a survey or no, I didn't do a market survey or anything. God told me to come to Will's Point, Texas and start this church. And we did. August the 1st, 1982. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of y'all have been here almost that whole time when you think about it. But that was the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Hey, Acts 10.
That's good stuff.
Mm. You need to listen to God. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God, the Bible says. Here's a case, and I'll just wrap this up. We won't get through. There's so many instances of people being led. If you go through the book of Acts just casually and read through there, you'll find how prominent the Spirit of God was, how prominent the Spirit was in what they did and how they ministered. They would go places that the Spirit led them to go to. They would go to people the Spirit led them to go to. So if you have someone on your heart, call them up. If when you pray, someone keeps coming up, check on them. Are you with me? If you're thinking about something and someone, you need to call them up and tell them, hey, I've been praying about you and you keep coming up in my heart. That's the leading of the Spirit. You never know what that one little word will do to help someone and bless somebody. You don't have to have a gift of the Spirit. It might be there, it might not be that. But all of us are led by the Spirit. All of us have those unctions, those pulls, those tugs. You know, peace, follow peace. You don't have peace about something, don't do it. So you seek peace and pursue it. Pursue it is what the Bible says. Don't get involved in something that you've just got all this unrest about. You need to pray and get the peace of God before you do something. Don't ever enter into anything you're all frustrated and not right about and confused about. No, just stop, chill out, be still, know that I am God is what the Bible says. And settle down and pray and get the mind of God on it. Get peace. Let Spirit lead you. Amen? Okay. Notice what it says here. This is a fascinating story. This is where a centurion, his name was Cornelius. I always relate to this because my mother's middle name is Cornelius. I know that's kind of strange. Her first name's Hazel. Hazel Cornelius. My dad's name was Kaufman Pearl. My brother's name is Lemoyne Kaufman. My sister's name Regina Inez. I'm the baby and they ran out of all those names. They called me Michael Wayne. Yes. So Cornelius was a devout guy, but he was a Gentile, and he gave to the Jews, and he helped them, and the Spirit appeared to him and told him to send to a place called Joppa, to a tanner's house named Simon, and there'd be someone there that would tell you how to be saved. So it's a fascinating story. So they did. They sent them there, and while that's going on, Peter's on the rooftop of this house. And it was about time to eat. He was up top waiting, I guess, for food to get ready. And he fell into a trance. I mean, he had a supernatural trance vision. And he saw this sheet coming down from heaven. And there was all kinds of unclean food on there, like pork chops, you know. Things that you couldn't eat as a Jew. Unkosher things, unclean animals. And the voice from heaven said, kill and eat. And he said, oh, not so, Lord, not so. Nothing unclean slipped these lips here. No, sir, no. And God said, this is fascinating, he said, what God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. And three times the sheet came down, three times the voice said that, and three times God said, kill and eat, you know. He said, what God has cleansed, don't call common or unclean. Now what was happening was these Gentiles were fixing to show up at his door, because in Texas you're always fixing to do something. They were knocking on the door, and Peter, being a nice Jew, wouldn't have associated with them. Even though he's a Christian, he's still, all the Christians are Jews, you know, all the disciples were Jews. And God was getting him ready to go minister to these people. Fascinating line there. Don't call yourself unclean either. Has God cleansed you? Well, don't call yourself unclean. Well, we're just old sinners. Why would you say that? Why would you say you're still an old sinner when God has cleansed you? What God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. I am not common or unclean. I haven't been uncommon. I hadn't been unclean since I got saved. Common or unclean, I get it in a minute. I hadn't been common or unclean since I got saved. I have been washed. I have been cleansed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a saint. I'm not trying to be a saint. I've been made a saint by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. I'm not a sinner. Okay. So, go down a little further. 17th verse. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen would mean. Now that's common. I mean, I just mentioned to you some visions I had and voices I heard that I doubted at first too. That happens. Sometimes it's not real clear. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Sometimes we don't get it. We're not listening. God told me he wanted me to do something about that church. I didn't want to hear that. No. What are you talking about? And then the idea that I could do something about it. What do you mean? I can't do anything about that. Confusion, doubt comes sometimes. When God says, go to Wills Point, Texas. Oh, you lying devil, I come against you. I did. I come against the devil and everything. For days. And man, months. Months. You know what topped it off? If I was at Lakewood, on the front row, Brent and I sat on the front row, and Brother Osteen, during the song service, he stepped off the platform and said, come over here, Michael. So I walked over to him, you know, and I thought, well, he wants me to do the offering or something, because I did that a lot. I did offerings and introduced speakers. And so I walked up to him thinking, yeah, okay, I'll do the offering or whatever. He says, you know, I've been praying about this. I think you need to go to Wills Point and start that church. I'm thinking. And I told Brenda, I said, I'm not just mad at God now, I'm mad at my pastor. I was mad at everybody because I didn't want to do this. But God just confirmed that right there that night. And he did it. He didn't do it publicly. You don't have to give words publicly sometimes. Sometimes you want to do them privately. Are you with me? In that case, I realized, well, I better obey God. But I had my doubts before, not after I obeyed, not after I committed, not after I said yes. I've doubted a lot of things in my life as a Christian. I've been concerned and confused about lots of things. I have never been confused about being called to teach, and I've never been confused about being a pastor of this church.
Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I thank God for you being here.
Yeah, I've struggled. I mean, I've a lot of things, but I've never struggled with that. Never struggled. I've been overwhelmed. Oh, my goodness. You know, but that's never been a doubt. Never been a doubt. Because I didn't call myself. I didn't make this up. I didn't decide to come here one day on my own. I obey God. And I didn't decide to teach. I didn't make this up. I didn't just say one day, I think I'll just be a teacher. I didn't want a teacher. Are you kidding? I love being saved. I just love being a Christian, telling everybody about Jesus. I was happy. I was very happy. I didn't want to do that. Teach. What are you talking about? But see, I didn't call myself. God called me. So, I've struggled with lots of things, but I never struggled with that. I never struggled about being saved after I got saved. I remember being lost. I remember when I got saved.
Yeah.
Never struggled with that. Some people struggle with lots of things, and I have struggled with a lot of things, but there's some things I just do not struggle with. I know I've heard God, and I'm just going to go with it until God tells me to do something else. Amen? Okay, in closing, before we just have a blubber fest here, man, you know, you have different anointings come on you at different times today. It's a crying anointing. It's just like, it's one of those weepy anointing deals that comes on you. Okay, so he had this vision, and the 17th verse, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius and made inquiry for Simon's house stood at the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. I mean, God told them the house he was at, God told him his name. They went to the house and asked for that person by name. They had a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And it says, while Peter thought on the vision, 19th verse, the Spirit said to him, behold, there are three men that seek you. Arise, therefore, and get you down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, of course, that old story is he went back with them. They got full. They didn't just get saved. They got full of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues right there while he was preaching in that latter part of this 10th chapter. But it started by somebody listening to the Spirit's leading. The Spirit led him to do that. You know, we often think, well, if I was Peter, if I was Paul, if I was John, or I could do this. I could do. Are you kidding? All they did was just listen to the Spirit. That's all they did. You can listen to the Spirit. You can feel that pull and that tug, that unrest until you do it. Amen? You know, sometimes he just checks you and stops you. Sometimes he tells you to go, but you need to listen to it. Amen? He may keep you from getting run over one day. It may keep you from out of a building that gets blown up. You don't ever know. It may be something that the Spirit of God, for some reason, whatever, you just don't feel right about doing something you normally do. Are you out there? And God may be trying to protect you. Had that happen many a time. Last story, and I'll close. I was going down to Guatemala. I was supposed to go down to Guatemala. It was 1980 or 1981 or so. 80, may have been 82, maybe been before I came up, but it was before I came up here. I was supposed to go down to Guatemala on a missionary trip, and I'd been down to Guatemala, I'd been down to Mexico several times, and on small planes with optometrists and dentists, and been down. I'd preach at night, and they'd work on teeth in these villages, and we had this trip planned up. In fact, Dr. Galley was on that trip, and Dr. Buck was another guy. Many of y'all know him or heard of him. He's in heaven. But I was praying, and I just didn't have, I didn't feel right about it at all. No reason, because I never had that happen. Not at all. Didn't feel right about it. And I called up Dr. Buck. I called up Dr. Galler. One of them called me first. Dr. Buck called me first. Then I called them. They didn't have peace about it. And we said, okay, let's just cancel the trip. So we canceled the trip. They had a coup that weekend. The government had a governmental coup and shut the airports down and everything. And I hadn't been watching the news. It wasn't anything I'd read in the paper or the news or anything. It's just we all of us had heard, God, don't go there. Don't do that. No reason not to go. Come on, it's a mission trip. You go on mission trips, don't you? You go on mission trips when God says go. And you don't go when he says don't go. I think there's a lot of things you can do fine. If you don't have a check or stop, continue doing them. Every mission trip I've gone on hasn't necessarily been God telling me to go, but I sure stopped when he said stop. And I sure went when he said go. Hallelujah. I got to quit. I'll be here all day telling stories about stuff like that. I mean, it's good. And any of you could do the same thing if you'd be honest about it. You know of times that God's led you and pulled you and tugged you. And amen. But the Spirit of God is a teacher. The Spirit of God's a life giver. The Spirit of God's a comforter, and he is a help. No doubt about it. He's the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of God is a guide or a leader. He's the leader of the New Testament church. There's no doubt about it. He should be our leader too. They're led by the Spirit of God. They are the children of God. That's what the Bible says. Stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Yeah. Woo!